Okay, so the word hased, the Hebrew word hased, is it's an obligatory obligation. Bible translates it loving mercy, mercy. It says Yahweh doesn't delight in this. He wants mercy. Or hased with translation say that's not what the Hebrew word is. Hased is you owe me. And it'd be easier for my mom to say you owe me. I did this, I did this, I put a roof over your head, I took care of this. Well, you've been a riot for 10 years to me, Mom. You still owe me. And so that's hased. I mean, it's kind of like hased. It can be a lot of different things. But when Yahweh says he loves hased, David would do that. Go, I have been so obedient to you. And he would go back to Yahweh. And it's, for lack of a better word, you owe me. I've been obedient. And so that's the word hased. That if you do the work, if you do what it says, and it says you can demand hased, I kind of put this up here on the screen, if you practice hased. If you don't practice hased, then it doesn't mean anything. So this whole teaching does not apply to anybody. Does not apply in the Word. If you're not living in the Word, then get in the Word, because then you'll get to see what's available to you. So here's a picture of Hezekiah. And so the painting right here is Hezekiah. This is after the Assyrians. We're going to try to destroy him, and it looked like you were going to get destroyed. He took the scroll, laid before Yahweh, but he would refuse defeat. So this teaching tonight is on Hezekiah's hased, and it, really the significance of his hased and how important it is. This next slide is a drawing that I did for my grandparents. It's like the second, I only took like one semester of drawing, so I never really drew very often. But I wanted to do something for them to show my perspective on something. So I did a pencil of their first date. When I look at their first date, man, the wheels would start turning. And so I have the drawing over here. Mom, if you'd read the back of it, which is really the significance to the drawing.
My dearest Nanny and Pops, as I grow older, I've come to realize that everything I have done and become only happened because I made a decision about a situation. It's funny because many of the greatest things that have happened to me relied on what I felt at the time of decision to be small and insignificant, taking a different route home, making a phone call, etc. But now when I look back, I thank the good Lord for those outcomes. I believe that at the time of those decisions, the Lord was guiding me, knowing that if I only obeyed, I would reach true happiness, blessing both of us. When I look at the picture of you guys on your first date, I wonder what decisions you faced and what the Lord was whispering in your ears. I believe you two made the right decisions. Whatever, small or large ones they were, because you found one another. Just think, you two made a decision to go out that night. How could you have known the importance of that date? Sorry, I'm having a little trouble reading.
Okay.
I believe the good Lord did know, and that he knew the potential the two of you had and the miracles that would happen if only he could get you together. I am sure you made many decisions before and after that first date, and that is why I would like to thank the good Lord and you two for making the right decisions, because my existence depended on it. Happy 52nd anniversary.
So that was my perspective of the picture, and I love this picture because this is their first date. Nani's roommate was dating somebody, I believe he's a captain in the Air Force, and to say my grandmother was competitive would be an understatement. And in order, and so she was, her roommate had a friend, and they both thought the friend would be a great date for my grandmother. The problem was he was a private. And she
Sergeant.
Wasn't. Sergeant. Was he a sergeant? Okay, he was a sergeant, okay. He was, which is lower than a captain. And they're going, she's not going to take somebody at a lower rank. So they lied. And they said he was a major. And so this is my recollection. So we got this guy, he's great, his name's Walt, he's hilarious, he's got a great laugh, whatever. And plus he's a major. And I was like, ooh, a major. But then what I remember hearing my grandmother tell the story, when she met him, she shook his hands and said, "It's so nice to meet a major." And my grandfather didn't know what he wasn't in on. He just started laughing. Major? Major? He told you I was a major. But this is the first night. Now, sounds nice, right? And I wrote this. I'm not an artist. I'm not an artist. You're an artist. This was a lot of work with a pencil. Even the hardest part is the black behind it. I got a response from my grandmother. Do you know what her response was? Very disappointing. She said, she's trying to correct me, which is good. But her response was, "I don't think there's that big of a significance on the things we do or we don't do. I think sometimes things just kind of work out, this and that. But to me, when I drew this, there's something really significant about this date. If they didn't go on this date,
you wouldn't be.
I wouldn't exist." But to them, if they didn't go on this date, would they exist? Yeah. And they would have met somebody else who had done something else. But I'm looking at this from a completely different perspective. And then when I got this letter back from my grandmother, I was like, and I think what she was trying to point out is there's not just one that's out to you. And she goes, it's just going to work. And from her perspective, she's going, hey, there's a lot of things we probably had to compromise on to get to that point. But there's two different perspectives on a date and significance. So the next slide, it's not a good picture. I don't know why it's so dark. That's my mom, my dad. Can you see that?
Israel.
In Israel. And I look at the picture of my mother and my father on their date. Here's my dad's 19, 20 years old, meets my mom. She has got four kids. And what a beginning. You know, just from us, you're looking at that. I started thinking, if mom and dad didn't go on that date, their date, if mom didn't stand up dad up on the roof, all these stories I get to hear, where would I be? I wouldn't exist. I mean, would I?
No.
I wouldn't exist. Would you exist? Mm-hmm. And like, man. You're going to go, all right. Just kind of looking at it. And if mom and dad didn't go on that date, Israel wouldn't have been here either. And who would have taught me how a match can burn twice? Who would have taught me to stick my tongue on the freezer to see if I could lick the frost off it? All this guy, this big brother. So you start looking at it from this perspective and go, would I exist? I wouldn't exist. So looking at it from perspectives, sometimes we're looking at it, you're going to go from one way. It's not really that big of a deal. You and Donna getting married, meeting with anybody that's married, it's an uphill battle. We're working your tail off. But to your son's perspective, as he looks at this, he can look at it, even you and your mom and your dad, you can look at it going, it's a fairy tale. Because without it, I'm not here. Your mom, your dad, you're going to look at these things, but it's just the different perspectives. And we're going to, here's Hezekiah, who's going to refuse defeat. And before we get there, let's see here. Turn to Matthew chapter 1. So how you look at a story can really it can really benefit what you're going to get out of it, the perspective of it. The gospel called Matthew is a perspective of Jesus Christ as the
King.
The King, very good. So this is him fulfilling all the requirements, all the prophecies. So it's page one, Matthew one. This is page one.
Oh no, I got it. There's no page on page one.
No, okay. Yeah, and so now let's fast forward to here's Yehoshua. Did he have a photographic memory? To the best of our knowledge, we can't comprehend what a perfect brain had. But we're like, wow, okay. Would he have studied the scriptures? Yeah. When he was 12 years old, he's lecturing in the synagogue or whatever. People are going, holy moly, who is this kid, right? Were the scriptures important to him? Here's Yahweh and his word. Here's his son learning what he's supposed to do. And who loved Yahweh more than Yehoshua? So who would have clung to those scriptures more than anybody that's ever existed? Is his son.
Yeah.
Yeah, me is that Yehoshua. How can this be and this be and this be? And I can see him even as a 12-year-old going, hey, hold on a second. How can you do this? And these guys, these rabbis are like, what in the world? I've never heard of these perspectives. But in Matthew chapter 1, and since this is the king's genealogy, it doesn't start with Adam and Eve. It's going to start off with Abraham. Abraham begot Isaac. You're going to go Jacob, Judah, 3, Judah, Perez. And keep reading. Verse 6 goes down. Begot David the king. And David begot Solomon. And we scoot down and keep going through all these begotting. These people that are important. And get to verse 10. And what, Mom, would you read verse 10?
And Hezekiah begat Manasseh. And Manasseh begat Amon. And Amon begat Josiah.
Okay, from Yehoshua or Jesus Christ perspective, if he looks at this, how important is each one of these people in the story?
Very important.
I look at my grandparents. I have some other pictures of my great-grandparents. And I'm like, are you kidding me? These guys are my heroes. And I can go back 3 generations. I think it's 3, yeah. I count. I'm going to go, but how important are my ancestors if they didn't get married, if they didn't do these things? I wouldn't be here. Would Yehoshua be here if Hezekiah did not have Manasseh?
Yeah.
Not the one that we know of. We know that Yahweh will find a way. We're learning in the book of Esther. If Esther didn't rise up, Yahweh will find it. He will find a way. But the one that we know of, the one that was born, that we see this genealogy, is dependent on Manasseh. So what? Turn to 2 Chronicles chapter 32. It's page 468. And if that goes off, I can just let me know, refresh.
2 Chronicles, I'm sorry, what?
32, it's page 464.
464?
Mm-hmm. We see stuff in war movies where people make a covenant. And they're like blood brothers, and they'll thick and thin, no matter whatever happens, they're going to be there. I've seen on Facebook where this guy, I think he was 98, 99, and he was dressed up in his Civil War, or not Civil War, World War II stuff, to stand by his friend who just died. And there's 2 guys that fought, and they said, if we get out of this war together, I will be at your funeral when you die, and you'll be at mine. And they're thinking back in the 40s and 50s, possibly, right around then. And here it was probably sometime in the last 10 years. Here this man was standing in his uniform beside his friend, because we would call that, the Yahweh's word would call that chesed. Something very, very, very special that Yahweh really values. Austin, would you read just chapter 32, verse 32?
32?
Yeah.
But the rest of the story of
Hezekiah?
Huh?
Hezekiah.
And his loving kindness, they are written in the versions of
Isaiah,
son of Amos, the prophet, in the book of the kings of Judah and Israel.
He's going to say, so here's Yahweh's word, going to show all kinds of different perspectives. But in this one, but Yahweh says, but the rest of the story of Hezekiah and his chesed. Mm-hmm. Who would like to learn about Hezekiah's chesed?
I would.
Yahweh specifically points it out. And if you want to learn about Hezekiah's chesed, you can't read it here. Mm-hmm. Not necessarily, but Yahweh's going, if you want to learn about the chesed, go to the book of Isaiah. But before we go there, go to verse 24. Mom, would you read that, please?
In those days was Hezekiah sick unto death, and when he prayed unto Yahweh, he was entreated of him, and a wonderful token he gave him.
That's it. That's a real big deal, huh? Does that look like a real big deal?
Yeah. No. From Yahweh?
No, to me, it's like, okay, but pretty neat. But it's just like, he just got sick, Yahweh gave him a token, and he healed. Next. Not a whole lot of... How much print is dedicated to that, I guess?
Yeah, not much.
Very little print. Not that big of a deal. At least it doesn't appear to be that big of a deal. We're going to turn to 2 Kings. Recently I was explaining to my son the difference between 2 Chronicles and 2 Kings. Here's different perspectives that Yahweh's going to be telling us. And then I was also, why didn't he just put it in one book? And I go, because Without faith, it is impossible to be well-pleasing. He that approaches the God must needs have faith that he is a reward to those who diligently seek him. You got to earn it. You got to work. You got to grow up. No, I just want everything nice and clear. Well, then you stay a baby. You stay a baby. And some people, they never graduate from high school. Some people never graduate from college. Some people go to college, get PhDs, master's degrees, doctorals. They go on Nobel Peace Prize, and you got like Ben Carson's. Mm-hmm. Okay, there's somebody that took it real serious, and Yahweh gives each one of us the chance to pursue it. And Ben Carson's is a perfect one because he was called Big Dummy. So his nickname was Big Dummy. He was not intelligent. He didn't have it. Yahweh gave him a brain. So with studying the Word, it doesn't make sense. It's so hard. The author's in the room.
Yeah.
And he could tweak our brain a little bit. Go, yeah. Just read this one more thing. And Yahweh, with a little screwdriver, starts twisting something. And all of a sudden, hey! Not that big of a deal there. But 2 Kings chapter 20. Now we're going to kind of zoom in on Yahweh's said, and we'll come back. Okay. And Melania, would you read 1 through 6 for me?
Mm-hmm.
1 through 3, sorry.
In those days was Hezekiah sick unto death, and Isaiah son of Amos the prophet came unto him, and said unto him, Thus saith Yahweh, Set in order thy house, for about to die thou art, and shalt not recover. And he turned his face unto the wall and prayed to Yahweh, saying, I beseech thee, O Yahweh, remember, I pray thee, how I have walked before thee in the truth and in whole heart, and that which is good in thine eyes have I done. And Hezekiah wept aloud. Keep going.
So we stop right there. And the book of Isaiah is going to say similar. That he just received a death sentence. Not a death sentence. You're going to die. What are you going to do? If you read the beginning of this in 1 Kings, you'll get to find what this guy actually did. And I was explaining that to my son because what he's doing by turning towards a wall is he's appealing to a higher court. The prophet Isaiah just says, you're going to die. And what does he do? I'm going over the prophet's head, in my opinion. And he's going, I'm calling on
Hesed.
I'm calling on Hesed. Those that practice Hesed, you can call on Hesed. If you haven't practiced Hesed, then it doesn't work. It's deaf ears. Turn to chapter 18, verse 4. Let somebody read 4, just verse 4.
I will.
Thank you. 4 through 6, sorry.
18:4.
Yeah.
14. He removed the high places and break in pieces the pillars and cut down the sacred stem and beat into pieces the serpent of bronze that Moses had made, because until those days had the sons of Israel been burning incense thereunto, so he called it Nehushtan. In Yahweh Elohim of Israel did he trust, so that after him was none like him among all the kings of Judah, nor that were before him. And he did cleave unto Yahweh. He turned not away from the following him, but kept his commandments which Yahweh commanded Moses.
I was explaining this to my son, to anyone, what's this with this bronze serpent? I said, man wants to worship images. So here's Moses. They're going to be bitten in the wilderness. Yahweh said, make a bronze serpent. And you look down, you'll get healed. But by his time, they're worshiping it. And to tear, to smash this, do you think, how popular would it be to smash down a bronze serpent Moses started?
Like Statue of Liberty.
Is that polarizing? Is that how you win votes? Tearing down the high places, smashing the altars, is not how you win votes. That's dividing the kingdom. A lot of people want those things. I was telling that to my son, going to go, what was he doing? I go, that's what President Trump's doing right now. He's calling things out with his child sacrifice, with abortion and the rest of this stuff. And people are looking. That's really important because later on, as you read, we won't read this, when he gets surrounded by the Assyrian king, my son and I are reading it, the Assyrian king says, Yahweh sent me to get you because you smashed down his high places. And my son said, why would he say it? And I go, my perspective is he's speaking in Hebrew so everybody can hear. Half the Hebrews that wanted those high places are going to agree with him. Yahweh smashed our high places. We knew Yahweh would be. I told my son that he's going to a Catholic church. I said, "Does Yahweh, is he a jealous Elohim, Caden?" He goes, "Yeah." "Does he want anybody else to get his glory?" He goes, "No." I said, "The Catholic churches have statues everywhere. Pray to St. Christopher, pray to this, pray to this, pray to this, pray to this. How does he feel about that?" He went, "He's not happy." I said, would I be making Catholic friends if I smashed all their images? Because you're not supposed to have it." And he went, "No, you would not." And then they go, "Okay." And so what Sennacherib, the Assyrians, doing, he's trying to divide the kingdom. Mm-hmm. He's going, "Look, get rid of Hezekiah. Don't let Hezekiah deceive you." He's attacking Hezekiah, and what he's really doing is attacking Yahweh. I was trying to explain that half of Israel would not be happy with Hezekiah, in my opinion, because we're going to find out right after Hezekiah dies, what do they go back to? Images. And the images and these altars and all the garbage just justifies their lust of the flesh. It's going to be sex and coveting and all the rest of this. But as you read that, you'll get to see Sennacherib. They surround him. The prophet comes and tells him in chapter 19. Yeah, he gets to read this stuff. And he says it. He takes the death sentence from the Assyrian king and he lays it before Yahweh's altar. Man, isn't that neat? And that's actually what this picture is. And it's neat because in the background you got the rest of the Hebrews with this one painting. But have you had any threatenings come against you about your life? This was a righteous man and it looked very, very bleak. What did he do? He appealed to Yahweh in there. And this is him going back on his head and said, "Yahweh, what have I done? They're attacking me because they hate you. And here's Donald Trump getting rid of this. Stop coveting your neighbor's goods." He's draining the swamps. We're getting rid of these child sacrifices and people want to kill them. And we've been praying for our president and his staff to be calling on Yahweh. So said, "We're doing this for you, not for them." But here's a story of Hezekiah overcoming. And if you do the math, you'll find out that when he gets... Isaiah comes to him and he says, "You're going to die." You ever had that where everything's going right, you're doing right, then all of a sudden you get some really bad news? Mm-hmm. "What do you mean I'm going to die?" And so if somebody read chapter 24 through 6. That's page 404.
I'll read it. 24 through 6.
Yeah.
"And it came to pass that Isaiah had not gone out into the middle of the court when the word of Yahweh came unto him, saying, Return, and thou shalt say unto Hezekiah, to the leader of my people, Thus saith Yahweh, Elohim of David thy father, I have heard thy prayers, I have seen thy tears. Behold me, about to heal thee. Oh, on the third day shalt thou go up unto the house of Yahweh, and I will add unto the days 15 years, and out of the hand of the king of Assyria will I deliver thee and this city, and will throw a covering over this city for my own sake and for the sake of David my servant."
And the rest, I don't know if we'll have time to read what happens next. But man, I remember hearing a teaching by Mark Hankins talking about that too. He goes, you may imagine being the prophet Isaiah. How would you like to go tell a righteous king you're going to die? Are you sure? He's sick. He does. And who's writing this? Yahweh is. He's going to be writing our story too, guys. And my believing, at the resurrection, a new heaven and a new earth, we're going to get to check out everybody's life, their book. And Yahweh's going to say, "How would you like to read about Chuck Cunningham? Well, I got another 16 million years here. Might as well get to know who this guy is." We're going to say, "What's Yahweh going to be highlighting in your life?" What did Hezekiah do? He didn't turn to these people. He turns to the wall. Not quite. I try to find a commentary what that meant. And most people, it's all speculation. He turned to Yahweh. He said, but before Isaiah had even left the building, "Go back." What happened? Hezekiah called on his chesed. What happened? "Thy faith hath made thee whole." Does that ring a bell?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. The Canaanite woman, Yehoshua goes, "It's not in the books. It's not a legit thing. We can't do this business deal. You're not in Israel. I'm here for Israel. I can't sin." You got to understand that. I have to. There's a lot going on here, Canaanite woman. If I sin, and she refused to go, she refused to go. My dad brought that up, that I got to share that in a while ago. I forgot about that. If a doctor told you no, I'd be disappointed. If a loan officer told me no, I'd be disappointed. If a job interview told me no, I'd be disappointed. If Jesus Christ told me to go away, would you go back? Because the Canaanite woman did. And hers wasn't Hesed. But he said, great is thy faith. And what I believe here is that Hezekiah was able to change things through his faith. Going back to, wait a minute. I have done this. I have done this. I have, who has crushed these things? And who has done this? I've done this. Me. And I believe by doing that, that is calling on a Hesed, that he would have raised his faith up. Yahweh's hand was already down. 2 Peter 3:9, Yahweh's not slack concerning his promises, as some consider slackness, but is long-suffering towards you, not being minded that any should perish, but that all unto repentance shall come. Yahweh didn't want anybody to perish. Why are they perishing? They're not bridging the gap. There's accidents, other things happen. But Hezekiah cracked the code. He raised it up. How many more years is he going to get?
15
more years. Why 15? I don't know. And then later on, the neat thing is when Hezekiah says this, he goes, he goes back to the prophet, what sign do you give me that this is going to happen? What kind of guy goes to the prophet and says, you got 15 more years? He goes, I need a sign. Reminds me of my dad. This guy's nothing but business. You're the prophet of Yahweh. And I was telling this to my son to kind of explain it. I go, they're not really exactly sure what this means. At least what I can see. It's like you have a sundials and shadows. And so he goes, would you like this? The shadow to advance, like fast forward really quick? Hezekiah goes, that's an easy thing. Have it go backwards. This is Peter. If it's thou, let me come out on the water. Right? And what happens is, it does go backwards. Yahweh reverses time somehow. And he gets to see it. And there's a real important thing that I want to kind of digress for just a second when it goes to Hesed. The point of this teaching is for us to dig down and refuse to give. No, I'm not going to. But also to be humble. Yahweh gets the high, he arrayeth himself, right? Mm-hmm. The Apostle Paul demanded to go back to Jerusalem. And Yahweh said, don't go. He specifically tied him up and goes, don't go. So the Apostle Paul should not have gone. But if you're in a situation that we have done this, we have done this, we have done this, we have done this, we would say, I'm not going anywhere. And we go over and over and over again. And this is what Yahweh's pointing out in 2 Chronicles. The Hesed of Hezekiah. And his life gets extended for 15 years, which is pretty neat, isn't it?
Amazing.
Well, that's nothing. What do you see what's next?
Changed history. He changed it.
Would somebody please read chapter 21, verse 1?
12 years old was Manasseh when he began to reign, and 55 years reigned.
Right there. Pause. Who's in the Christ line?
Manasseh.
How old is he?
12.
How many years was Hezekiah's life extended?
15.
Was Manasseh born?
No.
I never thought. Manasseh would not have existed. 15 years, Manasseh's not born. I don't have a son to sit on the throne. Now I'm going to die. He turns to the wall. I'm not going out like that. And he went back. And had Yahweh not heard his prayers, and Yahweh not seen his tears, what would have happened? I don't know. How many times have either one of us or any of us been in a situation? My dad called me out recently with something, and he goes, I think you're... use your error, and you need to change something or something. Kind of bringing up, those are my words. But has Yahweh heard your prayers? Have you cried? Have you went back and said, I have done this? Not thought. Because it didn't say Hezekiah went and going, and he was thinking in his mind. He spoke it. Yahweh wants to hear it. And saw those prayers. And what we are to do is we are to learn from this and Hezekiah's has said. Because Manasseh would not have existed. And Jesus Christ would have read this too going, whoa, if Manasseh wasn't born, this Yehoshua Mashiach is not here. Whoa. And Yahweh didn't tell Hezekiah, just do something. He wasn't given it. And I think the enemy, and you'll see this, and then you see the end of his life, and then he kind of misses it. You're going to die. Oh, okay, as long as it's in peace. And it's easy for me to look at and go, what a sissy! That's for me. But in my case, you'd say, like my dad brought, I've been single for 10 years. You've done this, you've done that, I've done those things. And I think that the enemy of sometimes of our breakthroughs is comfort. We're comfortable. And going to go, Yahweh, help us not get comfortable, especially if there's some sort of breakthrough that could happen. Her healing. Your grandson. Your breakthrough. You've been waiting on. And if I do get comfortable, even my father would say, well, of course you got to get your wife because that's going to make your life easier. It wasn't until my dad said that, that all of a sudden my brain started playing devil's advocate and went, well, wait a minute, you get married, I don't know how you're going to be going to Africa to hunt. And that New York City trip you just got invited, you can't be doing that. You won't be working out like you do. And all of a sudden my brain started, I'm comfortable. Instead of thinking about, wait a minute. And so I'm not saying that Jesus Christ, Yahweh would have found a way. But when Jesus Christ is reading about the lineage and who his grandparents were, I know that I can look at my grandparents and say, I wouldn't exist. So how important was Hezekiah's say? And what could be possibly missing is going, I'm not going anywhere. And Yahweh's just going, it's about time. Are you ready to finally talk about this? I think about disputes between married people. When someone goes, let's talk about this. You go, are you serious? Good. I've been waiting 5 years to discuss this. How long is Yahweh waiting? Going, look, you've done everything to receive your paycheck. Go get it. Well, I tried to. Just go get it. And that's it. So Hezekiah's put that's it. I'll close with a word of prayer. Thank you, Father, for your word, and we thank you for speaking to us and through us. And I thank you for whoever's listening, including myself, as you speak through us, because we have the Ruach Kodesh, Christ Jesus, and the Holy Spirit inside of us. Demand excellence and take every second and every day very, very serious, because you don't know whose lives are on the line. You don't know how many lives will be changed, will not be changed, or how many things will fall apart if you don't stay your course. And I don't overwhelm you with the details, but the significance of your obedience is mind-boggling. And there's many people that will never have their days if you don't stay the course. Remain faithful so bountifully so you can reap bountifully, and remain faithful and speak to me. Let us discuss our differences. And I'll raise you up, and I'll give you glimpses of the future, and I'll reward you above and anything you'll ever imagine. And trust me, in the end, you will always be thankful for obedience.